Well, that was a blessing, wasn't it? Thank you very much. Love the music here at the home place, Volusia County Baptist Church. It's always a privilege to be here. I count it a great honor. I would rather, other than my own church, the Temple Baptist Church in Flower Mound, I enjoy coming here and being with you dear folks. I awakened this morning not on a spiritual plane. I first of all, thought about the prime rib sandwiches that I missed on Monday. That's the first thing I was thinking about. Then I thought about the pulled pork sandwiches we had, the sandwich that we had, and the only regret that I had about those was that I couldn't have had two more, you know. And then I got to thinking about the croissant with chicken salad. I remember that from last year, all right. Those are the kind of things that linger with me. I don't know why. I'm just really on a carnal plane, I guess. Thank God for good provisions. Amen? And what a joy to be able to be here and spiritually enjoy a time together in the house of the Lord. And what a great time we've had this week. And I say this, and I've said it before, Dr. John Reynolds, dear friend, I thank God for him. We talk often during the week and share blessings and heartaches, and what a joy it is to have him. We have him scheduled again to be back with us. He does our staff orientation quite often, has preached other times, and it's always a blessing. And, of course, to hear five-point Randy Parker preach, I tell you, that's and it's always a joy to hear his messages. I so enjoyed that yesterday, that the message that he brought, and of course, Dr. Moore, and then to hear Dr. Green about Nehemiah this morning, and looking forward to hearing what is said. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to continue on in this series of messages that I'm bringing to my own church about not well known, but necessary and needed. And it's been interesting to me to go through Scripture and find kind of the, I hate to use the word obscure, but they're obscure in the sense that they are not, there's not many passages or chapters given to them. I think about the great prayer of Jabez over there in the Chronicles. That, you know, it's just right there. He just shows up and it's his prayer, and God answered his prayer, and then he just disappears in Scripture. And to think of the many folks, really, when you bring it into this 21st century and the year 2013, and think about the great people of Volusia County Baptist Church, never, ever imagine that your work does not matter. And it does. I think about the great choir. I was seated in the back last night when the choir sang, and my, how you've got the voices projecting all the way to the back. It sounded like I was on the front row. Great singing, wonderful singing. I've been 35 years, I'm in the 36th year of pastoring the Temple Baptist. We started 35 plus years ago. I was young and dumb, and now I just have the dumb part. That's all that's left. But anyway, we've had a choir for 30 some odd years. I've never been asked to sing in it. In fact, I'm a little bitter over it. If I wasn't the pastor, I'd quit the church. I really would. But anyway, I enjoy your choir and the orchestra, and of course, Mrs. Reynolds playing on the piano. We, Brother Randy and I, last night, he was doing some chorus, and he said, "I don't want to throw you." And Brother Randy leaned over me and said, he ain't never thrown her about music, I'll tell you. And what a great joy it is, and a great place, and all of you in the sound booth and everybody that keeps things going. I want you to understand, I want you to get a feeling of, as I have in my own church, about how significant you are. Now, I understand the issue of it is God in us, and I get that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And we want God to get all of the glory, but sometimes we really do get a false humility I believe Brother Randy was talking about that yesterday. We get a false humility about ourselves and don't allow the Lord to use us like he ought to. And the truth is, I had one of my church members say to me the other day, he said, we really ought to have a humility we could be proud of. And I said, well, I'm not quite sure that's what we ought to have. But sometimes we get to imagining that, I have no significance. And I get it that there's billions and billions of people on the earth. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 8, 3 and 4, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man? Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him. And I realize that, but you matter in this place. And I want to, as I have at my own church, help you to realize that. We call people, you're in the ministry and lay people, but everybody is in the work of the Lord when you're involved in God's business. It's the greatest, we say in Texas, it's the greatest business in the world. Business, B-I-D-N-E-S-S. The greatest business in the world is God's business, and you're a part of that. And we rejoice in it. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15. We read, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Now, let me stop there just a minute. Paul is, of course, writing his last epistle, and he is recounting some things. He's trying to encourage young Timothy about the ministry and the work of the Lord. It isn't going to be long that he's not going to be around. He's going to die a martyr's death. And some have said that maybe he could even hear the sharpening of the axe that would sever his head, and he would be ushered into glory. And he is writing here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, trying to stir up young Timothy, because sometimes, you know, the fire can go out. Our zeal and passion, it tends to wane, ebbs and flows, doesn't it? Our passion, he's trying to encourage him. And really, I think for just a moment, Paul maybe gets a little bit of a feeling of despair, all they that be in Asia. He had a great ministry there in Asia, greatly used of God, especially there in Ephesus. He'll mention that in just a moment. And he said, all they, you ever sometimes get discouraged? You think, nobody cares about me. No one there in Asia, he seems to be saying, is interested any longer. I'm out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes we begin to imagine that. As Elijah imagined, he said, I'm the only one that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal, and God had thousands that had not bowed the knee to Baal and were taking a stand. But, you know, if you're not careful, you'll get so discouraged, and you use those wide sweeping phrases and statements, all they that be in Asia turn. I often say, never use the word never. I've never understood that, but we sometimes get overwhelmed sometimes with discouragement and despair. And Paul, maybe a little bit as he's thinking about these two, we read on in verse 15. Of all they which be in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, you know very well. Now, we're veiled in what these two individuals did. In this drama here of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we have, of course, Timothy being addressed, and the two men that have turned away from me, and he names those two individuals, and we don't understand exactly what they did, but they turned away. And, you know, as preachers, it's always saddens me when people quit serving the Lord. I get somewhat saddened when sometimes people change membership or they move to a different church and they find a different place. I found it to be true that sometimes when you're in a place like I am, where there's so many Baptist churches in the Dallas area, that to what we'll have somebody leave our church and go to another church because they have at their church what we don't have in our church, and then we have people who leave from that church the people went to come to our church because our church has what their church doesn't have. You ever notice that happening? And sometimes it's, sometimes I almost want to name my church the Revolving Door Baptist Church. But I always find people look better coming than they do going. I rejoice in that. And these people who turned away from Paul, it grieved him. And it grieves me in these 30-some years of people that have quit serving the Lord. Now, if they go to another place and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not as great a heartache as it is when someone just drops out. And I'm sure you've had that happen here where people just drift away and no longer going to church, not anywhere, not serving the Lord anywhere, not people that used to sing in the choir that don't sing anymore, don't use their voices for Jesus Christ anywhere. That's a tragedy, and so it is. Paul is recounting this, but then he seems to move to a higher note, doesn't he, when he gets to talking about Onesiphorus. You know, it's amazing how sometimes people will name their kids Bible names. And some Bible names are good names. There, you know, you get Joshua. That's a good Bible name. Daniel, we like that. Paul. I'm glad my mom didn't name me Onesiphorus. I would have been probably in kindergarten in fights. I probably would have been. You know, Nessie. Hey, there's Nessie. You know, there he is. That's the way kids do. They can make more fun of names. But here was a good man that Paul is recounting him and talking about him and remembering him. And I want to kind of just talk about this man, not well known. When you think about people in the Bible, his name doesn't just immediately pop into your head like some of the great characters given to us in the Word of God. But nonetheless, he was used of God. And you're here this morning, you're saved, and you're involved. I want you to know you're being used of God for His work. And that's a great blessing. And it ought to be an encouragement to all of our hearts and a blessing to us. I want you to notice, first of all, the object of Onesiphorus and what he did. The object was the Apostle Paul. You read about how that God used him in a great way to encourage this great preacher. And you can't imagine what a great encouragement you are to preachers and to your pastor. I want you to know that. And that's a great blessing. Now, sometimes I get it. I know we've got some folks in our church. We had a lady visiting our church for several weeks, and off and on she'd visit, and then she wouldn't visit, and then she was back again. And I'll tell you, I remember one Sunday morning she came walking up to me. She said, "I'm going to give you one more chance." And I appreciate that. Had a lady visit our church, and my wife and I went by to see her, thought she was be. I said, "Well, we appreciate you coming and visiting with us." And she said, "Well, at least you have good music." You know, doesn't that just bless you? Well, I said, I thought to myself, I'm sure there's a compliment in there somewhere, you know, at least you have good music. And of course, I'm not a part of that even, you know. So there's some folks that I look out. I found out as a preacher there are some people that they make me at least think they're enjoying the message. You know, I love that. And there are people that you can't imagine how it is. Find you somebody that you can be a blessing to, and you can. And that's what Onesiphorus did. He decided he wanted to be a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. The story's told of starfish that get washed up on shore sometimes. And there were hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, washed up on shore. And a little boy is, and they say when starfish get washed up on shore, that they have no way to get back in unless the tide kind of brings them back in. But usually they end up dying. And the little boy is walking down through there picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean and into the water. And one man comes by and sees the boy doing this, and he said, "Son, it's a fruitless effort. There's no way in the world you're going to save them all." And he said, "No, I won't save them all, but the ones I do save will certainly appreciate it." You know what, sometimes you can get the idea, well, there's so many, I don't know who in the world I could be a blessing to. But find you somebody that you can focus on and be a blessing to, be an encouragement to. You can't imagine sometimes what your words of encouragement, as we heard yesterday, what your words of encouragement can mean to somebody. What a blessing. You just don't know. Mark Twain, who you wouldn't want to quote about everything, but he said, you know, I can go 2 weeks on a good compliment and a sincere one. And that is true. How oftentimes it is. You know, critics, we were in London recently, and you know, there's a number of statues of great people there in London that you see. But I never found one statue to a critic. A critic. I didn't find one. I found some wonderful statues and great stories of people who did great exploits for that area and that great land. And they erect a monument to it. Don't just be a critic. Learn to be a blessing and a thrill. I had a lady in our church that got a letter from one of our younger ladies. She's a grandmother, and she got a letter from one of our church ladies. It was just handwritten and said, "Wow, you're such a great example, and what a blessing you are. We appreciate you so much, and you helped me as a young mother. It's an encouragement." I mean, the letter was just filled with all kinds of nice things. That lady brought that letter to me. She said, "Boy, this letter so encouraged me, and it was such a blessing. I want you to know that." And she said, if I ever find somebody like me, I'll write a letter like that to them." I said, "Well, I hope you don't make it too difficult, you know, to find somebody like you that you could, you know, don't make it so difficult to find something kind to say, to be an encouragement to somebody, to lift their spirit and to do what needs to be done. Find just somebody. Of course, kids and grandkids, we understand that, but find some folks who are doing something, people that are doing something for Jesus Christ. Just say, what a blessing it is that you've done this. Thank you. You can find that. And so here was the object. You can't help everyone, but you can make a difference in somebody's life. And if you make a difference in somebody's life, what a joy and blessing. So the object was Paul. Secondly, I notice the often of his work. Look what it says about him, verse 16. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me." He oft refreshed me. What a blessing. Wasn't just one time and then quit. He stayed at it. He oft refreshed me. I enjoyed seeing him. You can almost feel like the Apostle Paul was saying, I just, every time I saw him, I was refreshed, I was blessed, I was encouraged. Now, the word refreshed there is, it's like a cool breeze on a hot, humid day in Orange City, Florida. Just a cool breeze, a refreshing, if you will. That's what Onesiphorus was. He oft refreshed me, the often of his work. In fact, look back. Let's look at a couple of verses, a number of verses. Go back to the book of Exodus, if you will, Exodus 23, and we'll get kind of the idea of what this refreshing means. Exodus 23 and verse number 12, we read, "6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed." May be refreshed. Notice a number of other passages over in the New Testament, Romans 15. Turn with me there, Romans 15. Like a cool breeze, Romans 15 and verse number 32. Paul writing, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." May be with you and be refreshed. 1 Corinthians 16, if you will, and verse number 8, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 18, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 18. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." 2 Corinthians 7, we read in verse number 13, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 13, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." What a blessing this man Onesiphorus was. He was a refreshing man. You know, when you refresh somebody, it lightens the load. You know, when your spirit is down, doesn't every responsibility seem to be a heavier responsibility? Doesn't it seem to be a greater load when your spirit is heavy and you're burdened down about something? But boy, when somebody comes by and refreshes you like a cool breeze, it makes the responsibility seem just a little bit lighter. And that's what Onesiphorus was. He oft refreshed me. He oft lightened my load. He was like a Sabbath day to me. He was like a day off. Don't you like that? A day off. Don't have anything that we have to do. Don't have anywhere we have to be. Just going to take a day off. We're going to let the roll off. You say everybody needs to throw it up neutral every once in a while. Disengage the transmission. Just have it in neutral. That's what really Paul was saying about Onesiphorus. He oft refreshed me. He lifted my spirit. He didn't carry my load. He couldn't carry the load that I carried, but he helped me to carry the load that I do carry. And you can refresh somebody as you work at that. And what a blessing that is. So you see the object, Paul. You see the often of his work. He oft refreshed me. And then notice the occasion of his work. Look at verse 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. When he was in Rome, he sought me. It wasn't easy. He's in Rome, in the Mamertine prison. I've been to Rome and seen the Mamertine prison. Of course, they have a stairway down to it, and what an awful place it was. It wasn't like the many prisons of today, where it's almost a greater lifestyle than the prisons here in America. Some of them, you look at it and think, man sentenced me there. It's tragic and sad, but he sought me out. He the occasion of his work when he was in Rome. Man, Paul wouldn't have known. He didn't tweet earlier that I'm on my way to Rome. Onesiphorus didn't. Paul wouldn't have had any idea, but here he was. He sought me out very diligently, and he found me. Let me tell you something this morning. Great work never is easy work. You know, I'm in Rome. I think I'll try to find Paul. I think I'll try to find him, see if I can look him up while I'm there. Well, I'm just not finding people, just excited for me to see him. But he sought me out. He sought me out very diligently and found me. He stayed at it. You know, the work of the Lord, when you're involved in it, and the blessing that you can be, stay diligent with it. Stay at it. Stay busy with the work of Christ. What a blessing and joy and an encouragement it is. You encourage Brother Barry, you choir members, when you show up, it's a blessing when you're there and an encouragement. You can't know that. And you know, sometimes we preachers, we tend to notice the one sheep not there. The empty place, if you will. We remodeled our auditorium bit, took out a big sound booth in the back, moved it up top to a room, and we created about 100 chairs, and we combined, went from two services down to one service. And I had talked to our folks about, you know, somebody sits in your chair in the second service, and you're going to be a bit bothered about that if you're not careful. And so we've had folks, you know, that's how folks do in a Baptist. I'm sure it's that way here. You just, preachers, can you look out, look over there? So-and-so's not here. And I've had folks just sitting, it's driving me crazy. I think folks are not here. And then while I'm preaching, I'm looking over there and see that's where they are. They're totally in the wrong place. And it just throws me. But you can't imagine. You can't imagine what it is when you're diligent about the work of Christ and doing God's business. He sought me out when he was in Rome. He wasn't even in Ephesus. He wasn't even in his hometown. But he's in Rome, and he seeks me out very diligently to be an encouragement to me. What a blessing that was. How it lifted his spirit there to see Onesiphorus. Boy, to see somebody you long to see. Wow, what a surprise. What a thrill. Can you do that? I think you can. You know, you can You know, Onesiphorus, he couldn't send him an email. Just seeing if you're listening. He had to seek him out very diligently, and he did. And what a blessing and joy that it was. The occasion of his work, great work. You know, Paul in the Mamertine prison was actually shackled to a guard 24/7. Shackled to a guard 24/7 in that prison. He sought me out when he was in Rome very diligently, and he found me. And then notice the occurrences of his work. Look at verse 18. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things, look at that statement, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. How many things, not just Rome, not just coming to Rome, but in Ephesus too. Timothy, you know what a blessing he was. How many things. He was a guy that would just, whatever, preacher, whatever you need. Let me be a help. Let me be a blessing. I can run that vacuum. I can sing in the choir. Yeah, I can do that. You can count on me. You know, that's he wasn't one that would say, well, that's not my area. You know, I'm just not called to that. You know, he was how many things he ministered unto me there at Ephesus. You know, Paul was there 3 years. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Talking about Ephesus, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And he did have many adversaries there at Ephesus, but he had one man, he had Onesiphorus. He said, how many things, that he ministered unto me and blessed me and helped me in that great city as a servant. He ministered, the word there in the Greek is as a servant, he ministered. He just wanted to, like Elisha. You know what it was said of Elisha, you know why he was such a mighty prophet after Elijah? Because it says that he poured water on the hands of the man of God. He poured water on the hands of the man of God. It's a great thought. Elisha was a servant long before he was known as a great prophet, a servant to minister. And you can't imagine this great church and the people that get saved here and have been helped here. You see, you're a part of that. It's a great team effort. No church makes it alone. It's a great team effort. Everybody together gets the job done. You know, it's like I use that illustration here of the lady who had played the old pump organ, where somebody had to be there and keep the organ pumped up, and she played beautiful offertories, and people would brag on her, and she'd say thank you, The boy down in there said, well, what about me? And she said, well, what about you? You know, all you do is just, you're down there, no one ever sees you, and it's not about you, it's about me. And so she gets ready to play an offertory one time and hits the keys and nothing. And he says to her quietly, is it me or is it we? Amen. And it really is about we. It is about all of us together. Paul said in Philippians 4:17, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that's what happens in the great work of cause of Christ. Everybody that gets saved here and around the world that you've participated in and you're a part of and you've given of your time, your talent, your treasure, and your touch, that's treasure laid up in heaven for you. Don't ever imagine that person who wins that soul to Christ and brings them down the aisle. Don't ever imagine you don't have a part in that. I know about, we have many, for we have RU ministry as you do. We have a bus ministry. We have many people that get saved. And I tell people all the time, whether you are directly involved in those ministries, your presence and your giving and your involvement, you have treasure laid up in heaven about that. What an investment it is. How many things he ministered unto me there in Ephesus, those 3 years I was there. You know very well, Timothy. You know what a difference and an impact this man had upon our ministry there. What a blessing that is. And then the obvious of his work, he said, verse 15, this you know. Verse 15, you know about how obvious these two guys that turned away from me. But then in verse 18, he said, all the things he ministered unto me, you know very well, the obvious of his work. It was obvious what he was doing. He wasn't doing it to be seen of men, but you knew. You just knew. You know very well what an impact he made. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be faithful. God takes note of that. I often talk about Old Faithful there at Yellowstone. There's a lot more geysers that are at Yellowstone that are more spectacular. They are higher, but you can't count on them. But Old Faithful, about every hour, it's going to spout off. And they've built a whole big tourist attraction around Old Faithful. And that's what he's called, Old Faithful. You know, just people may not ever know what you're doing, but it is never unknown by God. It may not be appreciated or even noted, but God takes note of it. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Timothy, you know what Onesiphorus did. May the Lord show him mercy in that day. You can almost just say, oh Lord, please bless him for what an impact he made on my life. And I thank God for you folks. What an impact you've made upon me over these many years of being here and being a part of seeing what God has done here. What a blessing you are. I thank God for you. Don't get a false humility where you think you don't make a difference. You do. Even if you're with gray hair or no hair, thank God for you. Let's pray.